go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you and we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Father, we thank you for all that you do for us. We just ask that you'd help us be faithful to you this morning through our lives. Lord, we ask that you'd fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom, understanding. Help us, Lord, to do your will. Bring glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want to extend greetings to you all in the precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's open our Bibles to chapter 10 of Luke. Begin in verse 17. Verse 17, it says, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. At that very time he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Turning to the disciples, he said privately, Blessed are your eyes which see the things which you see. For I say unto you that many prophets and kings wished to see the things which you see, and did not see them, and to hear the things which you hear, and did not hear them. And a lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law? How does it read to you? And he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Then he goes on to tell about the story of the Good Samaritan, a very simple story that a man was beaten. No one would help him except the Samaritan who took the man in, nursed his wounds, and provided for his care. That was the example that Jesus gave of someone who loved his neighbor. One of the things Jesus said, do this and you will live. And that's very important. People look for ways or theologies or ideas of how to be saved or experienced. And Jesus just put it very simply, love God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. That is so simple. That ties in very clearly with what Jesus was teaching here whenever he talked about talking to the disciples. He said in verse 21, At this time he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, I want to make note here, it's the only time it ever says that Jesus rejoiced in the Bible. He rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit. And it says, I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well pleasing in your sight. The simplicity of the gospel is often just completely drowned in wisdom and intelligence. People trying to find answers, digging deep to find answers, having to learn Greek or Hebrew or some other language to find answers. And while they're searching for answers, the answer's right in front of them. And they put on this, they just search and search and search for the answers. But it's right in front of them. It's so simple. It was revealed to babes. One of the things we neglect or forget at times, I think, is that when God created Adam and Eve in the garden, He created them simply innocent. And that's what a child is. Just simply innocent. We think that we have to know and understand all things. But that's not the way of God. He created us innocent. And to be able to have an attitude of innocence, not having to understand everything to try to figure it out, just simply hearing Him and doing what He says. We will try to educate ourselves. We try to make ourselves wise. But that's not where you get it. You get it by hearing. It's just like what we've talked about being a Christian. People try to imitate Christianity. They try to do Christianity. They try to put it all into practice. And they miss being like Christ. That's the heart of Christianity. So many people think that people who do not sin and are very religious and are very strict are godlike or godly. I don't know how many times I've heard a description of someone. Well, they're godly people. They're godly people. And people are so enthralled with that, especially coming from all the wickedness in the world and all the world around us. And then you see people that aren't involved in all of that. And the first thought is they're godly people. They're just strict people. They're just religious people. A godly person is someone who does like Christ. You know, some people are shocked. Some people are absolutely shocked when another person is compared to Christ. Whenever someone says that the way they live or their manner or the way they do things is like Christ. And there's people that are actually shocked. Oh, so you're comparing themselves to Jesus, or you're comparing them to Jesus, or you're comparing yourself to Jesus. That's what we're supposed to be. The very word Christian is little Christ, is the way it's supposed to be. A Christian is someone who is patterning his life after Christ. And that's what a Christian is. Very simple. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. We see all this religious activity, all this religious trappings, and people are just enthralled with it. It's lovely to people. It seems good and appears good. And we call it godliness. But when Jesus was here, The majority of the people didn't see it that way. The religious people, the godly people, were the ones who crucified Jesus. They hated Him. Why? Because He was a man. And He lived His life as a man, loving God with all His heart and His neighbor as Himself. We sing the song, "Oh, to be like Him. Oh, to be like Him." That is the heart's cry of a Christian. To be like Jesus. And I don't know where it comes from, but there's people that talk about being like Jesus and they live strict lives, but their lives are far from what Jesus' life was. This verse here, it talked about the authority that Christ had. Jesus had all the authority of heaven and earth behind Him. He had all the power of heaven and earth behind Him. The demons trembled at His name. There were people that tell stories about the man that was the demoniac, that they couldn't even hold him with chains. He would tear the chains apart off of him. He couldn't be bound by that. When's the last time you ever heard of that? Where a man would just go to the prison bars, tear them apart, rip the chains and shackles off of him, and go out into the mountains. Here's a man that they tried that with. And Jesus, whenever He came, the demons cried out and said, "Please, Lord, don't send us away. Don't send us out of the country." He just told them to go. And they went. All power and heaven and earth. Can you imagine that kind of a power in a religious man? He'd be trying to take over the world. Just like Hitler. Or just like any other tyrant. But that's not what Jesus did with this authority. And that's not what the disciples did with this authority. Today, we think we're godly if a leader is strict on the church, that won't let them have their own thoughts or their own ideas, but only makes them conform to their idea or image. Jesus came to set us free. And that freedom involves responsibility for you to make your own choices. I don't care if you read Jehovah's Witness literature. I don't care if you read about Mormons. I don't care if you read whatever you read. If you're looking for truth and are willing to hear what God says, you'll hear it. You don't have to be able to understand Greek and Hebrew to know truth. Babes can't read Greek or Hebrew. That's who Jesus spoke to when He was on this earth. Simple men, fishermen, common laborers. And they heard Him. It didn't take all this higher wisdom and higher intelligence to know about God. It takes simplicity. It takes hearing. It takes an innocence. It takes a desire to be like Jesus. Most denominations and most groups, after they've started, the foundation of their beginning is always humble. It's always simple. It's always just a group of people that love God and want to just do what's right. It's early church, Anabaptist, Waldensians, all of them. Just a simple beginning. And after a little while, things begin to slide this way or that way. And the rulers, the leaders begin to get scared and begin to try to, well, we have to corral this thing. We've got to control it. We've got to bring it in. We've got to make sure everybody follows what we found. That's not what Christ did. Christ said, follow me. And if people didn't, He didn't try to herd them in. He said, follow me. Follow me. Follow my examples. We hear His rule book, but we miss the man. You cannot separate the two. Jesus was the Word. He wasn't just the rule book. He was a man. And look how He led people. It wasn't by demanding them to follow His authority. He taught them and walked. And anyone that followed Him did. And anyone who didn't went away. That simple. And that's the way it was in the beginning of the early church. But soon, we began to have to make sure we keep everybody protected. And we make sure we have everybody programmed to the way we want them to think. They're not Christians anymore. They're robots. They have all the dressings and all the appearance and all the authority. But they have no soul. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. You can program a monkey to be a Christian. You can program people to. But they're not. A Christian is someone with a heart and a mind and a body and a soul that chooses to love God and to love his neighbor as himself. People began good. And then the next thing you know, they're trying to start a school and a college. Not to expand minds, not to set people free to learn, but to program them into what a board thinks that they need to know. That's the purpose of schools. You know, it sounds good. Oh, are you against education? And people get all mad and upset at you because you're against this modern programming that they call going to school. Oh no, I'm not against someone learning. I am against you having to go somewhere and be programmed. And that's what 99.9% of schooling is all about. They're not teaching you how to learn. They say they are. But you can't learn past what they want you to learn. Or they won't accept you, or they won't pass you. You have to be molded into what they want you to be. That's not the way Jesus did things. That's not the way He used His authority. He used His authority to let people free. You set a man or a woman free, and they take that freedom and that responsibility, and it will flourish in whatever field you turn them into. If you turn that freedom into religion, that scares people to death, religious people to death, because they don't have any control of that. Jesus wasn't about controlling people. He was about giving them the freedom to follow Him. It's just that simple. So opposite of what maybe not is said, but what is done in religion. Man's authority controls. Man's authority must be heard. You know, we've got such a desire to be heard that if I say something to you and you don't listen to me, we're done with you. We're done with you because you won't listen to me. That's not authority concerned about God. That's not authority that loves your neighbor. That's not authority that loves God with all your heart. That's devilish. That's not the way Jesus did things. That's not the way He used His authority to teach people. He told people stuff all the time. And He was despised and rejected. He wasn't heard. And He didn't get all offended and go pout somewhere. He didn't get all upset. Gather up all His toys and go play His own game. He just followed the Lord and He just loved God with all His heart and He continued loving His neighbor as Himself. He just kept on going. The purpose of being a Christian, or a disciple is to be like Christ. Look how He handled situations. Look at the people He got along with. Look at the people He didn't get along with. Look how He spoke. We sing the song, "Never a man spoke like this man spoke." He had an authority. Look how He handled people. Look at His mercy, His patience, His grace. We talked a few weeks ago about the reason why most people don't know anything about mercy is because they've never experienced it from God themselves. The reason they don't know about forgiveness is because they've never experienced forgiveness themselves. To be God-like, to be Christ-like, is to experience Him and who He really is. To know forgiveness, to be forgiven, you forgive because you've tasted it. To know mercy, you've experienced mercy and you can give it. That's why sometimes you've got to let people fail instead of boxing them in a corner and boxing them all up. You've got to let them fall on their face so that they can taste a little mercy for themselves. You box someone up in a religious cloak, they don't know mercy. They've never had to taste it themselves. They know punishment. They know justice. They know judgment. But they don't know mercy. They don't know compassion. They don't know being moved with compassion like Jesus was talked about. They've never experienced it themselves. That's why it seems like they don't even have a soul. You talk to them about an experience and it's just like they don't know. They've been turned into a religious robot. They look godly to the world, but it stinks to God. That's why Jesus didn't get along with them. That's why people who are like Jesus won't get along with them. They're two different worlds. One of them's just pretending. And one of them is what they really are. A man. Loving God with all his heart, all his body, all his soul, and his neighbor as himself. Two different spirits, two different kingdoms. You don't learn that by going to school. You don't learn that at a godly Bible college. You learn to be programmed. That's the first thing they do, is tear down your ability. In a strict church, strict Bible school, a worldly Bible school, they tear down what you know and put in what they want you to know. And they do it in such a way where you think you know it. You think you're being liberated and educated. That's the danger of it. So many times, what people fear or dread or are pursuing is the very thing. The very thing that they wind up. I think sometimes the devil just loves to find somebody that's afraid of something. And he loves to disguise it and then turn them into the very thing they hate. It's just like almost like a big game to him. But how many times it's happened? People that are afraid of authority. Afraid of authority. And they turn into that authoritarian that they would hate to be over themselves. How many times they are afraid of being deceived and then just believe the craziest things and think that they're not deceived. We may not see men able to break chains and prisons, but we see the devil operating all around. It was pretty bold back then. You could just see it all over the place. But he's still here. And he's still putting men in chains. All around us. And he still has the authority to set us free from those things. But we're so fearful, or we're so scared, that we can't just trust and have faith in the Lord enough to let others make their own decisions. To let others make their own choices. These things were hidden. Hidden. You know, there's people that's probably pretty good at hide and seek. Probably good at deceit, hiding things from others. But they're pretty decent at it. But can you imagine God hiding something from you? what chance of it is there of it you ever finding it? He's hidden these things from the wise and the prudent. They will never, with a capital N, find it. But he's revealed it unto babes. People pursuing it, seeking it, looking for it, trying to find it, will never find it there. That's what he rejoiced. That God was able still to reveal it to people. We're looking for some magic experience where Christianity has become more than it's unattainable. The very heart of that is they've missed what real Christianity is. They missed Jesus when he was here. It's being a man. A man. That's what Jesus was. A man. That loved God with all his heart, mind, and soul, and his neighbor as himself. And that didn't fit any of the molds that the denominations and the colleges and all the religious people could create. It didn't fit them. May the Lord help us to be like him. And it isn't. Whenever we sing about that, I've heard people say, oh, to be like Jesus. Jesus went through it on this earth. You want to be like him. You throw yourself at his feet and say, make me like you. He suffered. He was despised. He was rejected. Nobody listened to him. Very few. That's who Jesus was. That's what we can be. He doesn't fit our image of the little effeminate man. The book shows who he is. Anyway, that should be our goal, to be like him. Anyone have anything you want to add or share or question? One of the things that just astounds me is that how few places that Jesus would be accepted. Some places even to come to church, let alone be respected as someone to be listened to. He's not waiting for an invitation. He's either welcome or he isn't. And what we've done to the least, we've done it unto him. We can try to protect ourselves. But most of the time, protecting ourselves is shutting Jesus outside the door. And there is no safety in that. Look at who he was friends with, or friends to. That's who he was.
Forever said.
Yeah.